All right, click it or ticket, everybody. We're back for another episode of the Throw It in the Ocean podcast. Yos, how we doing?
Doing good. I'd like to be known today from here on forward as Double Dose Yost. I am fully vaccinated, ready to freaking literally let any person spit in my face. No worries whatsoever.
All right. Well, I like the energy. It sounds like you got a lot of stuff on your mind. I, on the other hand, do not. I have been stuck inside for the last 8 or 9 days. So it's been pretty mild, pretty uneventful few days. So, but I definitely will have thoughts, and I'm looking forward to what we get into today.
Yeah, Double Dose Yost, ready for another day.
Ah, me too, man. Well, I guess as we get going here, I wanted to go ahead and throw a podcast sponsor out there for you. So today's episode brought to you by Orange Julius Caesars. Come get your orange flavored smoothie and a healthy dose of betrayal.
I thought I've noticed a trend. It's a like if you don't know anything about history, you're in the dark with a lot of our sponsors. Not a lot of them, but you know what I mean. Like there's some historical things, especially like you like that Roman time. But I didn't. Wasn't my joke last week ancient Greece? I think it was.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. But I thought you were gonna go get your orange flavored Caesar salads. You know, something like that. Ooh. Yeah, but I get it. I get it now. I get it.
That would have been good too.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've been, Todd, for those of you just, tuning in for the first time, my name is Yost. I'm like Seal or Cher. it's just my name. And then that's, Todd over there. And by over there, I mean Cheyenne, Wyoming. I'm located in Spearfish, South Dakota. So we've been doing the podcast this whole time remotely. Like we'd love to be able to get together and do this in person, but not anytime soon will that be happening. So, but Todd is especially isolated because the COVID has found its way into your home.
It has. Fortunately, we've been basically symptom free. My wife's had like in the mornings, mild head cold symptoms, stuffy nose type of stuff. And we're over a week in. So, you know, mostly going away. Her health orders are up midweek this coming week. And I've basically felt, you know, the same normal the whole time. So
just trucking. Have you had like the state health department call and all that stuff?
Yeah, they called her. She had to give them my name, but they never called me or anything like that. So
yeah,
that I don't know what's my responsibility here. Like I have no symptoms. Like I've been staying home all week since she got a positive test. Like when her health orders are up, am I good? Am I supposed to go get a test? Like what's the order here? What's the rule?
So I don't know specifically because the school district did something differently where like if your close contact is like someone that you live with, then you have to be gone for 3 days. But then the time you're back, you have to do temperature checks and symptom checks twice a day. But that's because like being a teacher, you have to be, they want you back in the building as fast as possible. Different jobs, I'm not sure. But yeah, as soon as hers is up and if you've shown no symptoms, because I think there's a window of time when you can, you know, obviously show symptoms and stuff like that where, and then you like reset the timer for you. But yeah, I think you're just good to go.
I think so too. At least I hope so. I mean,
I think you would have shown by now.
Yeah, well, the weird thing is like the only reason Brandy got a test was because she was feeling super fatigued. Yeah. She went in and they're like, yeah, no fever, no cough, none of the symptoms. They didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I work with people in healthcare kind of, so I like to just rule it out. Yeah. And then got the test back a couple days later and it's like, oh yeah, you're positive. It's like, well, then what's the point of the symptoms and the fact that they didn't want to test anyways?
Yeah. So, yeah. Carly, when she had gotten it, she was pregnant. And so one of the things with pregnancy is congestion happens a lot. And she was just like super congested. And because we were just like, hey, it's 2021. Let's just live a little and go check. Actually, it was 2020 then. She just checked because she was pregnant and boom, she was positive. And then she had no taste and no smell and that was it. I had the full run of it though, dude. Like I was dead.
Did you get it? You got it right at the same time, right? After she got, no, you didn't.
No, I got it like a month later.
Yeah.
And I know where I got it from. I know like I know the exact moment, like when I got it.
It was when that dude sneezed in your face.
Yeah. We were just, I was at a international sneezing contest and I forgot my mask. But yeah, I got mine like about a month later or so. And now, I'm on my second dose, which technically I'm not fully vaccinated or immune until 2 weeks, but whatever. I'm licking concrete, you know? but my first shot made me feel horrible. Like, really bad, like chills, fever, aches. My arm was sore for for a week. And then I don't just have them. You have like a lymph node in your armpit or near your armpit. And that like swole up a shit ton because it was, you know, fighting back whatever. And I could like, it hurt to rest my arm in like a normal resting position because it was like leaning up against that swollen lymph node.
You have to use the bodybuilder walk, like the super wide arms.
The wide delts. But the second one, so here's where I was at with this, was like, I'd heard different stories. Like if you had had COVID and you get the second shot, like you're in for a wild ride. Like it's going to be awful. And then I go in and I'm talking to the lady and I was like, I actually got my first shot about 2 weeks after the 90-day immunity was up from when I had it. So she was like, because it was so close, that first shot probably reactivated some stuff. And the second shot isn't going to be near, it like won't be anything. And so I was pretty optimistic about that. I got it on a Wednesday. My dumbass did it on a Wednesday. So I went to school that next day and I only had the aches. Like I was achy all day long. And then I came home and took a nap for 2 hours from like 4 to 6. And then I was back to normal. So, so I guess you would assume also for like, my immune system has to be absolute trash right now. Like, like obesity aside, and the food that I put into my body, like I'm not sleeping at all lately. So yeah, I thought it was going to just absolutely wreck me, but you know, you can't keep the kid down. So
yeah,
we're here.
I'm pretty sure that my body has decided that, whatever COVID enters it, it's just making me stronger at this point.
It definitely could.
It's just a part of me.
Yeah.
Cause there's no way we've gone 14 months or whatever. From when I actually thought I had it in February of 2020,
yeah,
and I haven't seen some version of it again. I mean, it's in my house right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So or some version of it.
I did some thinking. I did some reflecting, Todd, on back to when I think I had it compared to when I actually had it. I think I had two different things.
Totally possible.
Like maybe the symptoms hit me differently or whatever, but like, that first one, like I didn't really have a cough. It was hard to breathe when I actually had COVID, but mine was just like nonstop aches and chills. You know what I mean? And I had a fever one day out of the time when I first thought I had it, but I just had a really nasty cough and stuff. So I don't know. It felt different, but it might've been similar. I don't know. So,
yeah,
but here we are, we're on the other side of it. And, it was kind of interesting. You know, we've touched on it a little bit, but like even the lady that was giving me the shot was like, hey, hold on to this card because this is like kind of worth its weight in gold right now, just in case, because we don't know what's going to happen with traveling and all that stuff and going back to normal. Like she was like, you might want to laminate this thing and like put it in a diploma frame, just because it's like one of those things where like, yeah, I'm vaccinated. I could do anything. I could go right up to the White House right now, dab up Biden and then walk out just because I got my vaccine. Like that, it's the highest level of security clearance, I'm pretty sure. So, like I'm next week, I'm going to Area 51. I just show them, hey, I got both Modernas. Let me in. They're like, come on in, sir.
So have you seen? I saw a thing on the internet. Speaking of Moderna, I thought it was like, the Pfizer is more of a body high and the Moderna's a mind high.
Yeah, the Moderna's opening my third eye. I've seen so many funny things about like, Johnson & Johnson is like the great value brand of like vaccines. And it's like Johnson & Johnson is the vaccine they tell you to not get, you know, like the anti-vaxxers are against and all that stuff. Like, I don't know. It's just Johnson & Johnson is getting a like blasted over the internet for just, I don't even know why. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's just cause it's a one shot. Like people just don't think it's as serious, I guess, but. They've already come out and said that like Pfizer, you're going to need another shot in a year, which is kind of expected. But yeah, so COVID-19, man. I'm ready for 20. You know, I'm ready for 20. Let's see what happens.
COVID-20.
But yeah, you've been stuck at home, and I had my first full week back at school, which was awful.
Yeah, I figured that was. It's so hard to get back into the rhythm,
dude. It's hard. Here's the dilemma I'm in. Is I was gone for a month for paternity leave. Like, shout out to the school district for letting me be gone for a month. Also, how important am I if I'm gone for a month? But anyways, I get back after a month. I come back into a 4-day week, and then I have the full day. Dude, we're down to a month of school left.
It's true.
Like this is the worst time. This is my first time. So my first year in this position, COVID happened. So I didn't go to school for the rest of the year. This is my first time dealing with in this position with the end of the year blues. Like they have a chart for teachers, especially new teachers, where like beginning of the year, it's a high and you're having fun. And by Christmas, you're overwhelmed and you want to quit. And then it goes back up again when spring starts. And then it kind of goes down right before May because like nobody, you can't get shit done. Like, kids, the weather's nice. Kids want to do anything but this. All of my seniors have given up. They're just ready to be done. Teachers are the same way. We got teachers showing up with t-shirts and shorts. You know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those things where people are like over it, especially this year. So like, I'm not only is it hard to get back into the swing of things, but now I have to get back into the swing of things when like I can see the finish line.
Yeah. And everybody else is already like, over it.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. June, I'm done the end of May. June, I'm on break and be hanging with the child for the summer and just prepping for the daycare life eventually. But
yeah, no joke.
So I'm going to jump right into this because it's blowing my mind, Todd. It's blowing my mind. Wow. So the
was that me?
That was you, yeah.
What? I don't know what that was.
The NCAA has came out with a list of possible rule changes for next season. People are losing their minds, Todd.
You were teasing this to me before we started, so I'm curious what you're going to throw at me here.
Okay, so like normally when there's like a rule change, honestly, one of the biggest ones I can think of recently is in women's college hoops. They changed it to 4 quarters instead of 2 halves.
Yep.
For pacing of the game and stuff, which has done really well for the game. And sometimes it's like, hey, you know, we're going to allow the assistant coach to stand up, you know, no big deal. They have lost their absolute minds in the NCAA. Now, this is coming from a guy who doesn't have a ton of insight into college coaching and hoops and all that stuff. Like, so maybe these are changes that they've been trying to push and I just don't know, but stay with me here. It's starting off easy. We're going to widen the lane to 16 feet. Okay. That's kind of a, because kids are getting bigger kind of thing, whatever.
Okay.
How about at the 10-minute mark of each half, okay, we're playing 2 halves, we're resetting the team fouls.
What?
Okay. Then double bonus kicks in on the 5th team foul. Okay. There's no longer going to be a 1-on-1 free throw.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. This one's pretty simple. Allow laptops, tablets, and similar devices in the bench area for coaching. I don't know why that would be a bad thing, I guess. Modify a 6-foul rule. Okay. So adding a 6-foul to the league, to the NCAA basketball. Here's where it gets weird. A player may not commit more than 3 personal fouls in any half. Penalty, disqualification.
What?
So if a player commits 3 fouls in the first half, they're disqualified for the rest of the game.
This is weird.
Okay. They can't do more than 3. So they may commit 3 in the first, 3 in the second, and be just fine. Okay.
So it's basically like you have a foul limit. You have a 3 fouls per half limit.
Yeah.
It's no longer a game. You know what I'm saying?
Which
it's not like you could get 4 in the first half and then still play the second half.
Right.
Like it is now.
And a lot. Yeah, exactly. You're done. And a lot of it comes down to, I think, player management, because I've seen enough in like high school ball where like you're playing a really great team, right? Like our team, we're playing a really great team and our senior picks up his third foul in the first quarter. Okay, he's going to sit a little bit, but coach's philosophy, which I understand completely, is I'm not going to get blown out by 20 just so he doesn't pick, so he doesn't foul out of the game. You know what I mean? Like, if we can just put him back in and he fouls out early, you know, like, we're going to use him. Like, we're going to play that kind of ball.
So I guess timeout here. This doesn't make sense now, though, because you could say, okay, I picked up two in the first half.
Yeah.
And I had to sit. And now I come out to play the second half. And if I get three, I'm done because I got three and a half. So there is not six fouls.
No more than three. So you can get three, then you have to be taken out. Yeah.
Timeout, though. So, can we go backwards for a second?
Yeah, let's go back it up.
So trying to figure out those first ones you read off that are not huge, but they are changes, and I'm trying to understand them. So normal, the 16-foot lane, that's NBA width, right? That's the standard NBA?
Yep.
So what's it now for high school and college and everybody? How much wider is it supposed to be? I was trying to look that up real quick.
Oops, that's not what width.
It's got to be at least a foot on each side.
Lane shot the same way.
12. That's looks like it's 12 now. Yep. So that's four. That's 2 feet on each side. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So then what about this? What was the thing you said right after that?
So at 10 minutes of each half, the team fouls are reset 0-0. And now you're keeping track of fouls up to the fifth team foul puts you in the double bonus. So there's no more one-on-one.
I'm trying to understand why. Why would we want to do that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Weird. So, okay.
We're getting weirder, though.
Okay. Keep going.
Award possession of the ball to the defense when there is a held ball situation. Okay. So think about this. This is how legitimately, like, every pickup basketball game has ever gone. Jump ball goes to the defense. Okay. So now there's no longer jump ball situations. It's just you award the possession to the defense if they can tie it up.
Dang.
Which changes the end of a game drastically.
Oh, yeah.
Because you could tie up. You could be like, hey, you guys, close game. Let's get the ball in. If they grab it, no big deal. We still maintain possession. So we got another chance to throw the ball in, right? Now you can't do that.
Right.
Here we go. Limit the number of timeouts that may be called by any one team in the last 2 minutes of the second period to two.
That's pretty extreme.
Games on the line. You got four timeouts left. You only can use two.
Ooh, I don't know if I like it.
Wow. Okay. This is a big one. So the last two have kind of pushed the tempo or changed the tempo of the end of a game. This changes it even more for not a good reason. Eliminate the 10-second backcourt rule.
No, can't do that.
That's wild, right? That one doesn't matter. Permit a team to decline free throws in the last 2 minutes of the game or any overtime period and elect to just take possession of the ball for a throw in.
No. What?
That's wild.
What?
So the only thing I could think is you always get put in those situations where it's like you have to purposely miss a free throw, you know. Like, you need 3 points. You make the first, you purposely miss the second. You got to hope you can get a shot up, right? Now this just puts, hey, you know what? Screw the free throws. We're just going to go for the three and tie it up or win it. So
this is to eliminate somebody fouling you when you're down three?
Probably, yeah.
Which I don't particularly like a team that does that because I just want to see the competition. But I'm fine with that. That's a smart coaching move if you can cleanly execute a foul that the dude's not trying to get a shot off.
Yeah, for sure.
That does, but then the weird part's going to be if you got a really poor free throw shooting team that you got to get stops and you're trying to put them on the line, they're just going to be like, nah.
No,
and you're just going to have to keep fouling your whole team out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Eliminate offensive basket interference after the ball hits the ring or the flange. This makes the rule consistent with the FIBA rule. So ball hits the rim, you can snatch it off the rim.
Offensively, though. So you'd have to, or just like power it in. You can basically tip it in while it's above the hoop.
If it's in that cylinder that goes up infinitely, you could just yak it in there. Okay. Adjust the traveling rule to allow a player to take 2 steps after lifting his pivot foot. which would make moves such as the spin move, Euro step, and step back shot legal.
I'm trying to understand if I mean, that's kind of what they say they allow in the NBA. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel so, like they travel way too much in the NBA.
Well, it's basically like that move where it's like the up and under with the step through. You pick up your pivot foot. It never touches the ground again. So that's the, always been the argument. Is that a travel because your pivot foot moved, or is it not because you never put it back down? Now they're just saying you can take two steps after picking it up.
That's a two steps sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
It'll two be steps would mean that you could go back. You could put it back down.
It would be the James Harden step back. Yeah. Last one. Eliminate the 5-second closely guarded rule. That's wild.
What? It's not broken. Why are we doing this?
I have no idea.
And these are all being introduced or what? As to be considered or what?
Yeah, these are all on the table, I guess. So
I hope that all the longtime coaches just go in there and they just slap these people.
Well, that's what makes me wonder is like who sat down and was like, those are good rules. It had to be some coaches involved.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There are probably some coaches involved.
Yeah. But either way, I thought that was wild. I was reading that last night, so
I don't know. I don't particularly like the majority of those. I'm fine with kind of the adjustments to the width of the lane and
right.
I'm not really sure what's going on with the foul thing, but it probably wouldn't change the character of the game too much. Although I do think the one on one is just part of the game. Like getting rid of that seems weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Hmm.
Yeah. So speaking of pivots, hard pivot here. do you have a vanity license plate?
Technically, no. I have an alumni plate for Wyoming.
Do you ever want a vanity plate?
I thought about doing one for my motorcycle.
Okay.
But I decided not to because I judge people that have vanity plates pretty harshly. And the funny thing is that I was going to get a vanity plate that said judgy.
Just judge.
Jade, like JDGY.
There you go. Judgy. What about just like a last name on a license plate? You're hating on that, huh?
No. Well, I'm fine with that. I just hate it when somebody's like sassy or you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. If there's a car that says like vroom on it.
I love it when there's a Tesla and the license plate says Tesla. I'm like,
Yeah, yeah. This one that I saw the other day, I couldn't help but think was pretty funny. And I wrote it down. So I was at an intersection and there was this busted car like across the way. I'm saying like Honda Civic, right? Might as well have been a Mazda Miata in my book. But I like glanced at it. I was like, you know, different color panels, you know, all that stuff. I glanced down at the license plate and it says Porsche. But it's spelled P-O-O-R-S-H, like as in poor.
That's actually hilarious.
Yeah, I couldn't help but like enjoy that guy. So I like waved at him. I was like, hey, dude, nice. Shout out to you. So shout out to the guy that drives the Porsche in town.
So maybe I just judge certain ones. Like I'm fine with like that's funny. Like I'm good with that.
Yeah, right.
But when you're trying to like make a statement or I don't know, something about it, just like I'm just a scrunch face, you know what I mean?
You don't want like a Subaru driving around with like a license plate that says like Subi.
Right.
Yeah. See, I've been wanting to put Yost on mine.
So I'm good with that. And then you could actually even do like Yost 1, Yost 2.
True. I don't ever think I'm ever going to have that point in my life where I have more than like one legitimate car, but
just do Yost 1 and then everybody's going to be like, oh damn, that dude must have like 5 cars.
Yeah, right. That's just his daily driver. That thing sucks. I would love to see what's in his garage.
Or actually be better to do like Yost 3.
Yeah.
And then people will be like, dang, wonder what his other two are. At least two more.
I just want Yost on there because I can't find my car ever. It's like putting your name on your underwear. These my underwear? Yeah, I'll take those. But I also don't love, I mean, a lot of kids know what I drive anyways, so it's not that big of a deal, but I don't love that like I could like get in an accident or a hit and run or something where I drive off and somebody's like, yeah, last name was Yost. Like I know where that guy lives.
That's a good point.
So I don't know how much I love that, but
that's true. People will always be able to just Google your last name.
Yeah. I should just get like a license plate that just says like somebody I don't like. like just put their name on there and be like, oh, that was that guy. Dang, I hate him.
How many characters do you guys get in South Dakota?
That's a good question. I don't know.
We get 5. You can get up to 5 here.
Well, okay. Some people are super clever with license plates though, man.
Oh yeah. California, you can get like 8. So you can literally like write a book.
Born in Philadelphia. Wait, what was it? How's that song go?
It's something like that.
Yeah, where I was born and
in
raised.
In West Philadelphia.
In West Philadelphia, yeah. It looks like you can get 4. No, wait. Oh, that's a construction vehicle plate. Personalized plate.
I'm guessing it's 5 as well.
3, 4, 5, 6, my dude. Ooh. We can get 6. So I could go like Yoast 44.
Yeah.
And then everybody knows my PS gamer tag. So, yeah. So I kind of like vanity plates. I do hate when they're like cringy. You know what I mean? Like,
I have vibing.
I have one in mind, Todd, and I'm pretty sure they listen to the show, so I'm not going to say it. But it makes me want to bite their license plate off. So. But anyways, I just think like transitioning to the cars thing, I talk with this kid in class a lot. Shout out to Isaiah. He's going to be happy that I said his name. And everybody else is going to roll their eyes that I said his name. But this kid is constantly talking about how his car is always broke down. But he is constantly doing stuff to it himself and breaking it down. Like we tell him every single day, and I kid you not, just buy a car and be happy with it. You know what I mean? Like granted, he's a young kid. He can't afford the actual car he wants. But the more mods and stuff he keeps doing to it, I mean, the kid can't even drive over a penny if it's laying flat on the ground. That's how low his car is. So like, it's just like, he just keeps doing things to it and just breaking it. And I'm just like, come on, guy. You know?
I mean, I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been at that point in my life before.
But like you went like the other direction with it, I feel like. Like you didn't, I don't know. I don't want to say that you were better at the stuff, that stuff than this kid is, but like, I don't know. Maybe it was more well thought out.
Maybe. I don't know. There is a point though, where it's like, I don't have the funds to do anything like super cool or super crazy or to buy a cool vehicle that I want. So yeah. I got to make this one get me by.
Yeah.
And it is like a slippery slope for sure.
Yeah.
But then as I got older and started working and was able to kind of, you know, get vehicles that I did want, it's probably part of the reason I've had so many.
Well, and he, like, this kid wants to go to WyoTech and become a mechanic and all that stuff. So like, chalk it up to, you know, learning things on the fly, but it's like, it sucks when it's like your only car and it doesn't run half the time, or it, like I said, it's like you can't use it on some of the roads in town because it can't get there.
I got a wild story for you.
Okay.
My Focus that I had in college.
Yeah.
One year I drove it to, I think might have been the same summer I started doing stuff. I bought new wheels for it, new suspension. Drove it to Boise from Wyoming.
Wow.
To my stepbrother's house, stayed there for a few days. During the trip, I brought everything with me. We literally took the whole top end off, put new cams in, did a whole bunch of stuff, tuned it. I had a remote tune done, did everything, drove it back. Like, that was bold. Yeah. Could have gone wrong easily.
Oh yeah.
So that's funny. I've definitely been there.
I've never tinkered with a car. I'm not a tinker guy, you know? I'll tinker it with a computer all day.
Yeah.
But I just don't care, you know? Like I when I buy a vehicle, I just want it to work. I don't want to have to do anything else to it. Like, sure, I've installed speakers when I was younger and completely screwed it up. But that's like when I knew, I was like, yeah, I'm in over my head here. I'll just do something. I'll just pick something else to like.
You know, I wonder what it is. I wonder why. And I fully understand that I'm probably in the minority. I bet that there's less than half of the people, you know, car owners and car drivers that are super into vehicles.
Yeah.
But like, why do some people like vehicles so much and others are like, yeah, it's just a tool that I use. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
I have no idea why.
Like hands down, top 5 show for me is Top Gear. But I could care less about the cars. I'm only there for the entertainment.
Right.
Like, for example, when they got kicked off of BBC, I never watched it again because I don't like the personality of the other people. And I don't care about the Renault 500, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm there for the personality. I love watching the cars, the cinematic stuff, the cool features and everything. But at the end of the day, I'm like, I'm here for the dick and fart jokes. So, yeah. I don't know what it is. I've never, maybe just like not having a father, like, you know, to hold the flashlight while he was working on the car.
Maybe that's why I like, cause I did build my first car.
Right. Yeah. And I just literally was like playing video games all the time. So, And I don't even like racing car games.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe I just don't like going fast. I like to be stationary as much as I can.
Going fast is super safe. It's the instant stopping that's
unsafe. Yeah, right. It's the not the fall that kills you. It's the sudden impact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I can't even remember what got us to that point, but, you know, shout out to WyoTech. Want to sponsor us? We'll take a sponsorship.
Yeah, no kidding. I got something I want to throw at you real quick.
Yeah, do it.
I made another crucial error. So I had I'm not going to say a sizable amount, but I had a good amount of Dogecoin.
Oh no, Todd.
At a very low price.
Yep.
And I texted you on like Tuesday.
Yeah.
I think it was Tuesday. And I was like, dude, Dogecoin's going crazy.
Oh yeah.
So I kind of watched it. It got up to like 18 cents. And I was like, holy shit. I'm like 350, 400% of my investment.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to go to bed. Like, I'm just going to sell this off. Like, take a nice little gain.
Oh no, Todd.
So I sold it. And then the next day I was like, I flipped it open when I woke up in the morning. And I was like, oh, that was a mistake. Because it got all up to like 50 cents and I sold at like 18 cents. So I went from a 400% gain I got, and it could have been like 1100%.
Yeah. I, to be honest with you, haven't done anything with Doge. I just literally stopped using the app and I was just going to let it sit there. And you mentioned it and then a kid mentioned it and I was like, oh, sick. I'm going to look at it. And then, yeah, it got like 50 cents. And it's sitting at like 33 right now. So
I know.
So yeah, that's a big oof. But that's the name of the game though. That's the stock market. You know?
I'm not cut out for it. Because I was like, it's 3 or 4. Last time it got up to like 11 and I cashed out a bunch of it and made some money there and then bought again when it dropped down to like 4 cents.
Right. And see, I'm the opposite where it'll hit 15 bucks tomorrow and I'll be completely oblivious. And then I'll be like, oh shit, I should have sold. So I don't know. It's, I don't love the stock market. What I dipped my toe in for a hot minute when the meme world was taken over, and it's too much work. It's too much stress. I don't need that. I just want my money to just sit in a bank with a 1% interest rate and just slowly build me money.
What are you going to do? I mean, I can't complain too much. I still made, you know, 450%, but
it's the same idea.
Or 400 as, or whatever it was.
It's the same idea as when you go gamble in Deadwood or Vegas and you're upset at yourself for not playing that one time with a chance to double it up. And then you do play it and you lose it all. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the same idea as like, oh, I should have just walked away. Yeah. But just sometimes you just don't walk away, you know?
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. I really want to gamble, Todd. I want to gamble.
You're pretty dang close to it.
I know, but the problem with Deadwood is like, I don't always do well there. I've done decent, but like for the most part, I don't like the experience is just different there. It feels sad there. You know what I mean? Like in Vegas, it's like an experience. In Deadwood, it just feels sad. I don't know why, but. Like you sit down at the table and the dealers are all like dead ass tired because they only had one person come to their table in the last 3 hours. And when you show up, you're like, hey, I'm in a good mood. And then you lose twice and the free drinks suck. And it's, I don't know.
Yeah, I think I see what you're saying.
I'm going to go out on a limb and we're going to lose the city of Deadwood sponsorship here. But I think Deadwood's overrated.
Maybe. It's kind of out on a little island, so it's, you know, not a lot around there that can do the same thing. So I think it's got the market cornered, but
yeah.
I mean, it definitely doesn't hold a candle to somewhere like Vegas.
And I'll even go out on a limb and say I think Vegas is overrated. Like the experience of like the strip and everything like that, like it's fun the first few times, but like the fun stuff is like outside of the strip. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like going on like little adventures and golfing and going down to Fremont Street and all that stuff. Like, cause realistically, like to have fun in Vegas, like, yes, you can buy all the booze you want off the strip in your hotel room getting, you know, but it's like, everything's expensive. Everything's trying to like take money from you. Like, I don't know. I look at Vegas and I just think like, it's a great experience. And I would go right now if you asked me. But I wouldn't have the expectation. I would want to do something different than just like walk up and down the strip.
I think so. You've been there several times. I've been there a million times, and I've learned that the hard way, or maybe just because I've been there so many times. But you can stay on the strip and enjoy the weather if you go and it's winter in Wyoming, or do something where it's just like, yeah, we're just here to chill by the pool, enjoy the sun, have some free drinks, go to the free, you know, exhibits and, or, you know, go to a couple shows or something like that instead of just try to gamble the whole time, because that gets old so fast.
Yeah. Well, exactly. If your mission going to Vegas is to get absolutely plastered for as much as you can during your trip, like it's so, I think that's the most boring part of Vegas. Even when I was like right outside of 21, like, you know what I mean? Like I still was like, dude, this is exhausting. Like I've been drinking all day long and I've lost $300 on 5 drinks. You know what I mean? Like it's just, I don't know. It's the next time I go, I want to go full tourist mode. I want to go check out the Hoover Dam. I want to go check out all the site, the touristy stuff. I want to get off the strip. In fact, the last time we went, we did Airbnb off the strip, and that was one of the best experiences, besides like when we went with Jim and stayed at that house, because you could like control your own tempo.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're on the strip, it just feels like, oh, if you're not, you're in your room, what are you doing? You should be out there doing this. What are you doing? There's naked pamphlets all over the ground. Pick one up, lick that guy's hand. You know, it's just like, there's too much pressure to have a good time in Vegas.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And the best part about Vegas is the last night you're there buying a bottle of champagne and watching the Bellagio fountain.
I know, that's pretty fun.
That's the best part about Vegas. So,
and everybody's looking at you like, why is that guy drinking out of a champagne bottle by himself?
Yeah, don't get the glass. Just pop the bottle into the fountain, because there's already a million pieces of garbage in the fountain. And then chug a disgusting bottle of champagne, because I don't like champagne, Todd.
No, it's fun to drink at the time, but it gives me a headache.
I don't like the effervescence of it.
I like a zesty beverage, in the words of Jeremy Clarkson.
You're a zesty kind of guy, though. So as I'm looking at my list here, one of the things that we've been talking a little bit of sports here. One of the things I found interesting, and some of the responses I thought were really good, so I wanted to run it by you, was if there was an athlete, any sport, whatever you want, to have a completely injury-free career, who would you want it to be?
Like go back and change somebody's career?
Yep, like anybody's career where injury slowed them down, changed the path, whatever it was, you just eliminate that just to see where they end up.
Ooh. So I probably have a few, but the one that really jumps in my head, and I think because there was so much potential, would have been the D-Rose in Chicago.
That was a huge one for on a lot of people's lists, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think. What do you got?
Some of the big ones were like Brandon Roy. Come on. That guy was insane.
That guy was insane. I don't think the ceiling was quite the same as Derrick Rose, but I agree.
No, but he could have been playing. Yeah. Derrick Rose was huge on that list. Tracy McGrady was big on that list. Tiger Woods was on that list. Because obviously with all the scandal stuff that happened, like he also had some serious injuries. So to see where if he would have recovered a little bit differently from all that would have been pretty cool. And just to continue his dominance. God, who was some of the other ones? A lot of them were NBA players, because the thing I saw was like an NBA article, but there are some other names. But like Derrick Rose, like, instantly jumps to the top of my list, just because like that guy was phenomenal.
And I know.
Oh man, I think he would have been LeBron's kryptonite for a long time. You know what I mean? Like, LeBron moves down to a different team, moves west, whatever. I think he still would have met Derrick Rose every single year in the finals. Unless they're in the same conference.
I just think about, I mean, you can go back and watch highlights of his MVP season, and he's on another level.
Yeah, he was insane. He was absolutely insane. Ooh, a little tired behind these eyes today. But yeah, I just think that's like, I don't know. There's probably a ton that we're missing too, but most notable career-ending injuries. That's probably going to just be gruesome.
I think, like, in the football world, like, Andrew Luck probably comes up.
Ooh, yeah.
Because he just kind of, like, called it. You know what I mean?
Yep. Steve Young's on this list with concussions. Oh, really? Yeah. Young had 7 confirmed head injuries.
Holy cow.
And then got one in the third week of his eighth one in the third week, and then he was done after that.
Jeez. That's crazy. Honestly, we probably forget about it, and I forget about it because I wasn't like, I don't know, fully developed as a human yet, but Grant Hill probably had a pretty big impact.
Yeah.
Because he had a serious injury, didn't he?
I think so. I definitely think so. Those are all like 12 most. Let's see. 10 most. Reggie Brown. Kirby Puckett. Dante Culpepper. Steve Young. Sterling Sharp. Oh, here you go. Superstar athletes whose careers were ruined.
Tiger's probably a good one as well. I don't know why I didn't think about that. Probably because he's still accomplished so freaking much.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I would have loved to see where he would have been even after all that scandal and stuff.
Yeah.
Yao Ming is a kind of a big one.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he had really bad ankles and feet. Dante Culpepper, Kerry Wood, Brandon Roy. God, that guy was nuts. Greg Oden's a good one.
Mm.
Greg Oden was, like, supposed to be a beast.
I just never, like, he just always seemed like a little, he just never put it together, I guess. And maybe that was because of injuries. But.
Well, the interesting thing I read about him actually was that when he got to Portland, they like made, he gained like 60 pounds like before the season. Ooh. But like they kind of like ruined his body. So Penny Hardaway, that's a good one. Shout out to Anfernee. So yeah. That's kind of cool though, like, to think about, you know, where the league would be if, like, especially if Derrick Rose wouldn't have been, he would have left the Bulls and probably joined the Warriors. You know what I mean? Like, he would have been on some super team.
So I thought you were going to bring this up with this topic, but man, like, a ton of the, I'm not huge into the NBA anyways, but the people that I would enjoy to watching, like, Donovan Mitchell or Jamal Murray down in Denver. All those guys are getting freaking hurt right now. There's a ton of injuries in the NBA right now.
There are. There's a ton of injuries just everywhere. Like, my ankle kind of hurts, you know? but yeah, there's a lot of injuries with some big names. Hopefully they all come back just fine, but you never know.
How much can you believe how much heat LeBron got for the high ankle sprain and being out like freaking months?
I know. The problem is like, he's such a durable guy that people just, I don't know. He can't do right any angle, to be honest. Like, when you're that level of like success, I just feel like no matter what angle or what route you take, somebody's going to hate it. Speaking of that, I think the Space Jam 2 trailer makes that movie look like a pile of hot garbage.
Oh, yeah?
I'm not excited for Space Jam 2.
I haven't been. I was worried that it could be that.
Oh, it's just too much, dude. Like, I get they're going with like a modern day spin, but no, dude, it's just not for me. I'm going to watch it because, again, shout out to HBO Max. It's going to be available on HBO Max. when it comes out. So I'm, of course, I'm going to watch it, but like, gosh, it's so annoying. Like, it's just too much for me, Todd. So
you'll have to report back. Unless you tell me it's amazing, I probably won't watch it.
So you're saying there's potential for me to set you up for failure.
I'll still read reviews.
I'll be like, Todd, it's the best movie you've ever seen. Just to waste an hour and a half of your life. That might be doable. The new Mortal Kombat movie's coming out next weekend. Excited for that.
Has there been a movie that's been remade more times than Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat's only been done twice.
I feel like it's been done like 100 times.
No. They had the original two movies, Mortal Kombat and Mortal Kombat Annihilation. And then they had a small internet series. Couldn't tell you the name of that one. They have a ton of games.
Yeah, like, maybe that's all.
They're on Mortal Kombat 10 right now, I think. But like, none of them have really been remade. They're just been kind of like continued on. Because the thing about like a series like that, where there's the story could be anything you want it to be.
Yeah, that's true. And I actually like the old ones too. I watched them when I was a kid.
I think the old ones are so awful, but I just love them. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, they're terrible. But
yeah. And Mortal Kombat will always have a special place in my heart because that's like the very first competitive game I ever played. And I've told the story on here before of, you know, standing at Smith's playing the actual arcade cabinet and just bodying kids all day long.
So. Something about the joystick and two buttons or three buttons. Two buttons?
Yeah, dude. Well, that game had back, I'm pretty sure the cabinet that we played had six buttons.
Ooh.
It had like, because you have like low punch, mid punch, high punch. And then low, mid, and then high kick. And then your little joystick. So yeah. What else you got, Todd? Anything good?
I was just going to say, with our time in the home, we've watched a bunch of movies lately. And I didn't really have particularly specific thoughts about any of them. But I was going to just list them off for you and see what you had, what you had to say. Okay. So a couple days ago, we watched Bridesmaids. Just wanted something funny.
Classic.
It's a good one.
Super surprise movie. Like I did not know what to expect going into that movie, and a literal gut buster. I thought that movie when I first saw it, and even now it's still good, but like there's absolutely funny movie. So
yeah, it's pretty good. Although I do feel like man, they just make her out to be like such a bad like person, air quotes person. You know what I mean? Everybody's just like not on her side, but she's kind of getting hosed the whole time.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But, and then we watched, for the first time, watched Ready Player One.
Dude, I love that movie.
I had to give it a shot. We watched it, I think, yesterday.
Yeah, such a good movie.
It was pretty good. I was impressed.
Like, it's gotten a lot of flack for, you know, the book is better kind of thing. But, like, all the little details and Easter eggs in that movie, like, gosh, I just love that movie. I watched it not that long ago too. Like I put it on the background to like do stuff and I just sat down and watched it. So
nice.
That's a good movie.
We also watched Castaway.
Okay. I haven't seen that in a long time.
Brandy had never seen it.
Wow. COVID bringing out Brandy.
I was like, it's a must watch, right? It's a classic that everybody has to have seen at least once.
Oh, there's so many references in that movie. Yeah.
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 So that's dang good. And then a little while ago, which I don't think I mentioned this one, but we watched The Prestige as well, which I love that movie.
I think that's top 10, one of my top 10 movies.
That's just a good freaking movie.
When you haven't seen that movie, like it's rare when somebody hasn't seen that movie, but like it's literally, to me, it's like one of the best twists in a movie. Like misdirection's great. Like it's just a good movie. Shout out to Nikola Tesla too.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a pretty solid list you got there.
Not too bad. I don't know. The hard time, we have a hard time picking movies because I'm just like, I'm not adventurous. I don't want to waste 1.5 to 2 hours and 15 minutes on a junk movie.
I was going to say, you got to get into the horror genre because you can really waste some time there. Yeah, we watched three movies yesterday, back to back to back, because Carly, I took the baby and then Carly took a nap. And so I just put on some movies and we watched Jumper.
I like that movie.
Yeah. Well, not too bad at all. Now I can't think of the second movie. Shit. And then what was the second movie? Gosh, that's going to bother me now. But we went from that to the second movie to Armageddon and then topped it off. We did like four movies yesterday. Topped it off with Transformers The Last Knight. So
I think I liked that one. I'm trying to remember. There was a bunch of duds in the middle, but that one pretty good? That one's decent, right?
It was okay. I'll be honest, I wasn't watching it completely. I was just like messing around on my phone or doing some other stuff. But a movie I highly recommend. But I don't know. Have you seen The Shining?
Not from front to back, not all in one sitting.
Okay. You should watch it. And then you should go watch Doctor Sleep.
Oh, yeah. Brandy's huge Stephen King.
The Shining will always be one of my top movies. Doctor Sleep blew my mind how much I enjoyed it.
The movie that's relatively new, is it?
Yes, it's relatively new. Ewan McGregor, it's the sequel to The Shining. It's Danny, the young boy, all grown up.
Huh.
And it's like psychedelic and stuff like that, but like, dude, it's good. It was really good. So that might be my rec for the week, is the freaking go watch The Shining and then top it off with a Doctor Sleep.
I know we haven't seen the second one. I might have to mention that.
Yeah, it's Doctor Sleep is fantastic. But so is The Shining. And I even like the original version of The Shining, the Stanley Kubrick? King. The Kubrick one is the one I really like. The one that Stephen King did himself that follows more closely to the book isn't bad either. So
nice.
But that's like a straight to TV movie, so it's kind of, you know, it's kind of ghetto.
Dude, they don't do those anymore because there's no TV.
There's still TV. I guess I see what you're saying. It's not like straight to commercial, like broadcast or whatever you want to call it.
It's just like Netflix or
because
somebody's picked it up, right?
Yeah. And I was listening to a radio show not that long ago, and they were talking about how awful comedy movies are now because like they kind of jump on to one or two actors and they make them do like 17 movies and then you get sick of watching them. But I think it's also because TV really took over, or TV series really took over. Like, movies kind of fell off for a while there. The only thing being put out was Marvel movies, and everything else was TV series.
So I feel like that's accurate. It has been a weirdly, and obviously COVID year slowed everything down as well. But probably the newest new movie we saw was either Knives Out or maybe...
which is a great movie.
It is. Or it might have even been the Glass, the Unbreakable series, the third one.
Ooh, I didn't like that
one. Mr. Glass or Glass?
Yeah.
I think it's just called Glass.
Yeah. I was not a fan of that one.
Not as good as the first two. I still enjoyed it.
Right. Just trying to think if there's any other movies I've been watching lately. We've been watching a lot of Impractical Jokers.
It's a good background show for sure.
Yeah. HBO Max, again, has every episode on there. So we've just been plowing through. You know, you've seen most of them, but then sometimes you're like, oh, shit, I haven't seen this one or whatever. But they have a lot of behind the scenes stuff that was aired too, which is kind of cool to see, like them on tour and all that stuff. So
nice.
But yeah. One of the last things I have on the list here as I'm looking down is, when is the last time? And I know you're Mr. Solo sometimes. But when's the last time you've done something that's typically done with a person, another person, or a group of people by yourself?
So I think you're talking like sit down for a meal or.
Yeah. Not like a eating alone in your truck, some Chick-fil-A. Like you pull up to old Chicago and you just sit down and at a table, not a bar, and you eat and have a few drinks by yourself.
It's been a while. I mean, I was doing that probably last year when I was working in Casper, and I'd go up there by myself. I'd go up to Wyoming Ale House or what's that other, Fire Rock or whatever, and I'd sit by myself and eat dinner before a board meeting. But I haven't been doing
good right now.
I haven't been doing that lately. I have just been grabbing something and eating in the truck.
Yeah. Ever gone to a movie by yourself?
I have not.
You're not living till you go to a movie by yourself. I probably have gone to, I'd say, 10 plus movies by myself.
Dang.
Yeah. And every single time I've snuck in legit food. Every single time. Like, not like, oh, I bought my own box candy. Like, I went and watched Django Unchained by myself, and I snuck in a Qdoba burrito, chips and queso.
Oh my God.
I went and watched, I think I went and watched Avengers Age of Ultron, probably like the third time I had watched it. I went and watched that by myself. There's hardly anybody in there. And I snuck in two pulled pork sandwiches from Dickie's.
Holy cow.
I snuck in half of a Little Caesars pizza to a movie.
In the box or in a bag?
It was in a Ziploc bag. I couldn't figure out how to do the box. I've snuck in McDonald's to a movie. I'm trying to think of some other stuff. I'm pretty positive I snuck in a Jimmy John's sandwich into a movie in Laramie, which I want to say might have been Twilight.
One of the Twilight
movies.
You saw that in theaters?
Dude, Casey and I were into the Twilight series. I don't remember what movie it was, Todd, but there was one of the releases. We were there the night of the release. Like, we were first in line when the doors opened, Todd, to
watch. What were you guys doing?
I don't know, man. It was a dark time. I think I had watched them, and like, I'm pretty sure Kate, you know, Chelsea was the one that was like really into it, but Casey probably secretly was, and I just went along for support. But no, like, I remember genuinely like watching the movies, getting there early, standing. We were the first in line, went and watched Twilight on release night.
That is dedication.
Oh, I watched Star Wars one of the times. It was like one of the, it might have been one of the newer ones. It might have actually been the first of the new series that they did. You remember Philly Ted's here?
Uh-huh.
The Philly shop. Shout out to Philly Ted's. I snuck in a full-on Philly cheesesteak into that movie, and it was packed. It was packed, both the sandwich and the movie. And I can vividly remember. So here's the situation I was in. This is one of the nice things about doing things by yourself, is because you either come off as like sad or a psychopath. Okay. So, and this is something that's plagued me every time I go somewhere and there's like open seating. I sit down before everybody else. There's plenty of open chairs around me. I'm usually the last person to get people to sit by them. Don't know why. Okay. Like in a classroom, like if I'm sitting at a table, all the tables are full. There's a chair next to me, or there's suicide. The lady that walks in the room at the last second chooses suicide instead of sitting next to me. But I remember going into the theater, and I was there early, right? I got my oversized Nike sweatpants on. I got the Philly cheesesteak tucked into my shorts. You don't know where I end and that begins. So I'm early, so I could pick a good seat. And I picked up against the wall in this particular theater, and I'm by myself. So I don't have anybody on my right. So I'm limited to who can sit next to me. This is strategic, because if a group of people come in, there's going to be one guy that gets stuck next to me, right? If another solo comes in, he's not going to sit right next to me. And if he does, he's the psychopath.
Yeah.
So as the theater starts filling up, I have two empty seats next to me. So I'm thinking to myself, I've got pretty good odds that if there's a couple, boom, they sit down, no big deal. But if it's anything bigger than a couple, I've got this open. So I see this solo guy walk in, and I think to myself, we're in a great situation here, me and you. You can sit down, leave one space in between us, and then nobody can sit there, because there's no going to be no other solos that show up. So this guy does what I, you know, we talked telepathically, and he sat in that seat, and we had a space in between us. Movie, the preview start, I'm starting to wiggle the sandwich north so I can get it up to my face, and another solo walks in.
Uh-oh.
Yep. This guy finds that empty seat so fast. Comes and sits down. He says, excuse me, sorry, you know. So now we're kind of fighting over the armrest, and I was way bigger than him, so I, of course, won. But as the previews are going, all you can hear is people eating snacks and talking and all that stuff. I hate going to movies when it's packed. But I really wanted to see this. And so I start unwrapping the sandwich, and there's just cheese sauce everywhere, like literally everywhere inside the foil. And so you go to grab something, my pinky lands in it, and I'm looking for a place to wipe it. And I just like wipe it on the floor kind of thing. The guy looks over at me, and this guy had the sack to look me in my eyeballs and say, can I have a bite?
I guess I said, if he's going to sit in between two dudes, he's got stones anyways.
So I didn't share with the guy. it was a really weird, awkward moment. But like, what made it worse was like, I didn't finish the sandwich. So he definitely could have had a bite. because the one end was so saturated in cheese, you were basically eating cheese soup with a side of bread. So yes, I could have given him that, but I didn't. So he watched me fold up the last little butt end of the sandwich and just throw it underneath the seat in front of me. So
Jesus. I was going to say, like, the days of going to a movie, at least for me, especially now that we live here, and picking a seat when you walk in are gone. I haven't done that for years. It's always been online, even probably a little before we moved here. You go online and you buy your, you get your seats early, and they're all the bigger ones with the recliners. And but I remember growing up, there were the super uncomfortable velvet red and or green, and you just everybody's freaking rubbing shoulders.
I love that you can pick your own seats now, and that those seats are all fancy. I had an irrational fear growing up at movie theaters because I had read some urban legend somewhere that like a guy was watching a movie in the theater and somebody injected him with AIDS when he wasn't looking. Like,
Jesus.
That was like my irrational fear. So like, I don't know if anybody like John or any of those guys remember when we used to go to movies in Riverton, I would always want to sit up against the wall. So at least I had one angle where somebody couldn't inject me with AIDS. So. It was like I said, it was an irrational fear, but it was definitely a fear.
Crazy.
And to be honest, like, I chalk it up there during that time. I felt the same way as I did pooping in public. Like it terrified me that
somebody
it could,
was
going to
inject
do it.
You with AIDS
while I was pooping in public.
Yeah.
I was little, dude. I thought pooping in public, you could catch stuff off the toilet seat. I could get pregnant. You know, you've heard all the stories. Like the toilet seat was a freaking pot of germs. That's all I knew. So.
Yeah, that's true actually. So.
Yeah. But anyways, you know, going to things by yourself, I've done it a lot. And because it's just, sometimes it's just nice. I remember driving to Denver once to go to the zoo. I'd love to go to the zoo by myself, but I was going to say airport. Don't know. I literally went the opposite end of the alphabet right there.
Yeah, you did.
But I was going to the airport one time, I think to pick up Jim or to do something. I don't know why. Maybe just to watch the planes fly. But I remember going, and I went to Hooters by myself.
Dang.
You know, like Loveland has that Harley shop.
And that's a little bit like, that's a little psychopathic. I feel like you walk in alone and you just grab a table by yourself at Hooters. They're like, what the, are you? You're waiting for people, right?
Nope. I'll have the chicken breast to hold the chicken. But yeah, dude, I that was one of the few times I felt weird. Because I went in expecting just to be able to sit at the bar. It's completely normal to sit at the bar by yourself. But the problem is I took a four top. So the bar was full. I had to sit at a four top. And like, this has got to be probably the biggest like look into my mind. I love food, Todd. Like I love a good sloppy Joe all the way to a filet mignon, right? I love a Taco Bell taco all the way to a taco straight out of Mexico. I love the experience of fancy food. I love the experience of just right off the toilet lid food. But there's one place that you go to, maybe there's a couple now, I haven't been to them, where you're not going for the food. And one of those places is definitely Hooters.
Yeah.
So that makes that lonely experience even worse. Because I know I got the wings and I know they were awful. You know, yeah, so... That's just a glance into my mind. And here's the crazy thing. I probably stopped back. If I was picking up Jim, I probably stopped back there again with Jim. If it was open, we stopped there every time. Like it became a joke. I watched Casey fail so miserably at trying to talk to a chick there that like that was worth the horrible food. Like that girl blew him off so hard. It was hilarious. But hopefully he's listening because he knows exactly what I'm talking about. But
probably the only thing, the biggest thing that I do fairly frequently is, especially here in Cheyenne, is actually play golf alone.
Yeah.
Which the weird part is it's not very often it actually happens because they usually get thrown in with somebody, which is fine. But I don't know. Yeah, that's definitely a different dynamic because you're literally just out there with your own thoughts.
I love a solo golf. Like, especially now in the day and age of like really good Bluetooth headphones, dude, you could like you could just straight vibe on the golf course by yourself. And it rarely happens. And I absolutely hate when I would go out early in the morning to go out on myself. I'd even pick the links course just because nobody was out there. And he'd be like, oh, I'll send you with that twosome that's heading up there. And I'm like, shit, well, I'll go a different way. Nope. And I'm like, ugh. Cause I hate playing with randoms cause I was awful. But you know what I mean? Like I loved a good solo round of golf.
It's pretty nice. It's if you just need some time, like it's perfect for that. But if you're just like out there to get some swings in, sometimes it's nice to have some people as around as well. So,
yeah, I've definitely not as, I don't feel as comfortable on the golf course as you do. So I hate going with randos, but it happens.
Part of the process. We probably have a completely different experience with that. Cause what happens when I play with randoms is they're always like,
dang, you're good.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah. 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 And I mean, I hear the same thing when I play with randoms. It's just holy shit, dude. It's the 10th and you haven't cleared the women's tee. Yeah, golf is great. I also love a good outdoor basketball solo session.
That's a good time. I've done a lot of that before too.
I love it. I like indoor solo sessions, but I just never find myself. Like actually right now I could go to the high school, get out the shooting gun, and get up 1,000 shots by myself. You know, nobody would come in. So that sounds kind of nice. But something about an outdoor hoop, man, those are good times.
The double rim.
Yeah.
Just brutal.
Yeah, that thing has rejected more shots than Mutombo. What other things are good solo? What's the weirdest thing you could do solo? Sex. I don't know what.
Well, honestly, like eating a meal at a restaurant solo, not sitting at the bar is
pretty weird.
Pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
But then you could almost just be like, yeah, I'm waiting for somebody. And then obviously you're not. And then they don't show up. And then you get like sympathy dessert.
That's true.
So I might try that one time.
If we lived, would it be, how do you feel about if you lived in Denver and you're by yourself and you went to like baseball games by yourself?
I think I'd be okay with that. Cause like the thing about sporting events by yourself is like people just talk naturally. So you might strike up a cool conversation with somebody just like being there.
Yeah, that's true.
I wouldn't get shit faced by myself at a Rockies game, but, but I've watched a ton of like basketball games, volleyball games, like at the college and stuff like that by myself. Like, you know, just.
Ooh, I know how to make it weird.
Yeah.
Like for me, I'm just like at one of the high school like basketball or volleyball games. And they're like, oh, what are you doing here? And it's like, oh, I'm just watching. And they're like, you with somebody? Nope. Don't know anybody here.
Yeah. That does make it weird.
Yeah.
Not having a kid participating or even worse, just like a youth soccer event outside. And you're just like,
that would be worse.
You just stroll up, pull out one of those chairs,
T-ball or something.
Yeah. Which one's your kid? All of them. Just,
oh, I don't have one.
Yeah.
I just love this sport.
Yeah. It'd be even worse. I can't stand T-ball. I just love kids.
Oh, yeah, that's probably the worst.
I actually, T-ball, I remember watching T-ball once. I'm pretty sure it was in Laramie. It was on one of those like fields. And it was one of the hardest times I've ever laughed in my life. Because like it was a perfect example of like all kids, even the kid like that hit the ball, just followed the ball. Like the left fielder is just running to third base just to go help field. And then like whoever gets it just launches it where they think they should throw it. They're being told to throw it and nobody's there because they're all over there. Oh man, I was laughing so hard at that. Dude, youth sports is hard to watch now though.
Yeah, I could see that. I used to see little kid basketball at the rec center in Gillette when I'd be working out because it was on the weekends.
Right.
Like every weekend morning they'd have like every court would be youth basketball. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough to watch.
I'll preface that by saying that it's not a, it has nothing to do with the talent of the kids. Like I'm not going to a youth basketball game expecting a kid to be the best basketball player. It's all in the coaching and parenting that people understand.
I would say
stuff, so.
Parenting. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is enough with the kids that are just trying to get out there and do their thing. But yeah, when you get a couple parents just like yelling at their kid to do something, it's right. Just like, ugh.
Or a coach that just has too high of expectations. I don't even care if the coach doesn't know what they're doing. It's just when they're like yelling at the refs and talking trash to the kids. And it's just like, come on, dude, like cussing in front of 5-year olds. Like, we get it. You're trying to get the field named after you. Like, relax. But maybe it's more, maybe I'm just more sensitive to it. Like, because being a coach, and I by no means think that because I'm a high school coach, I'm more versed in all that than anybody else. Like, I'm literally the bottom of the barrel, but like, I just notice that stuff more. Like, I watch sporting events differently sometimes just because I'm like, oh, how's the coach handle that situation? Or, ooh, that player did this. What's the coach going to do? You know, like, just keeping an eye on that stuff. So,
oh, I'm sure, I'm definitely believe that your perspective on it's different.
Yeah. But yeah. And it's, so yeah, the solo T-ball is probably the worst you can get. I love solo grocery shopping.
Yeah, I do that. I do that like every week.
Because I put in both headphones and I just turn out the tune the world out. I don't care if I'm in the way or anything. I just go for it. I just take my time.
I love putting the headphones in and listening to something and doing my thing. I don't like doing it when I have people around me.
Really?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, like something about being, swivel. Yeah, I'm just, I like to be aware, I guess, of what's going on.
I don't know.
I get
that. And shit, in today's age, yeah. Got to keep your head on a swivel with everything that, like, just random shootings that pop up everywhere. I'll be honest with you, Todd. I feel like you have a high chance of having one happen in Cheyenne.
Because we're close to Colorado? Or capital?
And it's a capital, yeah.
They, it's definitely...
it's a highly populated area. Like Casper, even more so, I think Casper's got a higher chance.
I think most of the... I actually think if there was going to be a higher chance, it'd probably be here because we have a higher chance of having people with differing views clashing. Right,
yeah.
I guess, but maybe that doesn't even really matter anymore. It's just random.
Yeah, it is.
So, but unfortunate.
Hopefully that doesn't happen. I was just thinking like... But, you know, that's what we're, the pandemic's starting to go away. So everything else is starting to come back. Unfortunately, one of those is shootings. I read an article, not to jump into this, but just an interesting article that was like the other day in history was when the Derek Chauvin case started. It was like the first time ever in history that there was a murder or a televised case about a police killing somebody was interrupted by a story of a police killing somebody that was like interrupted by a mass shooting at a school. Like that, dude, that's weird, man. That's weird, but that's like also the news.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't sandwich like a cute panda being born in there somewhere, but whatever.
I said it to you in our group chat and to Jim, but, you know, makes me nervous that we're here now because I think people are the people that are prone to it are more depressed than ever. That's what happens when you lock them away for a year, tell them not to do this or that. So,
yeah, the mental health of everyone in the country right now is awful. So,
fingers crossed, things get better.
Yeah, they always do. Double dose yos, man. I'll single handedly lead the pack. We'll get back on track. So. Man, that's a lot of words. Just all literally right, started my rap career.
Dr. Seuss, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Album will be out later on this week. It's, I don't know, man. We're almost done with April. And summer's right around the corner. I am going to be Chef Yost. That's my goal this summer, Chef Yost. I'm gonna make so many things I've never made before. It's gonna blow your socks off.
We'll have to have a segment. What'd you make this week? Yep.
Yeah. I'm gonna smoke everything, not marijuana, just meats. that should be like an anti marijuana ad. Smoke meats, not marijuana.
Yeah.
That's just like the fat dads against marijuana campaign ad.
No kidding.
I'm going to do a ton of smoked meats. I'm going to try some new recipes. I think I'm going to buy a new cookbook and just cook. Every time I get a cookbook, I like to cook through it. And so I'm going to find something that's like manly cooking, you know, but like kind of robust, doing some new techniques and stuff like that. So
I need to get back into it. We've been in full blown winter here. So I've been,
yeah,
grumpy with that. But
speaking of, we're 3 hours away from 6 to 8 inches of snow here. So
yeah, it snowed Thursday, Friday, and then yesterday it was just cold and shitty and windy. And today it's sunny but windy, yeah. And then tomorrow it's supposed to snow like 3 inches. So
yeah, I'm hoping for a snow day tomorrow. If you're listening to this and we get a snow day, shout out to me for manifesting that. So. But yeah, man, I don't think I got anything else. You got a wreck this week or anything?
No, I think we'll just use your wreck that you made earlier. I like it.
I have another wreck, though.
Okay, let's do it.
I got a great wreck. And this is specific to only our region of the United States because we're the best. Get yourself to Taco John's. Okay. Get yourself the Queso Boss Burrito with steak. And thank me later. That's my recommendation.
Okay.
Taco John's Queso Blanco Boss Burrito with steak. Thank me later. So
I like it.
Yeah, other than that, I think we're good. These hour episodes are pretty easy to crank out, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. If you do end up with a snow day, let me know because I'll be working from home still. So,
yeah, I will. And yeah, other than that, we'll talk to everybody soon. Todd, thanks again, as always, for the conversation.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
And we will talk at you guys here soon. Yeah. Anything else, Todd?
No, that's it.
All right, guys. Talk to you later. See you.